The reading is from John 15, 1 to 16. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. If you are my friends, you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other.
Jesus the vine, look at those grapes hanging down. Wow. Jesus is the vine. John 15, and he's the best vine ever. I just wanted to start with this. He's the real thing, and this isn't meant to be a Coca-Cola advert. You know, the real thing, the real deal. But Jesus is the authentic, the one and only true vine. In the midst of a load of counterfeits, he will never, ever fail you. He won't pretend he's something he's not. Jesus is the living, real vine. He's not fake. There's so much fake around these days. Can you really believe what you hear on the news? Not necessarily. Sometimes it's got a spin on it. Jesus is authentic, which means, I think the root of this word is, he's original. He is true. And I got here the best diet. You know, there's so many diets now. My wife's reading a book called The 800 Diet. Have you come across it? The 800 Diet? Yeah. Meant to be quite good. You're only allowed 800 calories. 800 meals a day. I like it. You can put the recording on bottom, by the way, again. Thank you. 800 meals a day, that sounds quite good. 800 calories a day. And that's quite low, really. What they're trying to do is they're trying to obviously get your body not to go into starvation mode, because that's counterproductive, but actually to go into repair mode. So it repairs things that have been damaged in the whole human functioning. Anyway, I don't really understand it, but it's good. Anything that helps you to focus on what you should be eating, what you shouldn't be eating. But in terms of this, Jesus is the best vine ever. Because you can't go wrong when you're feeding on Jesus. He's healthy. You know, there are several places in Holy Scripture that talk about Israel being the vine, being the old vine. The old fruitless vine. It's often spoken of in derogatory terms. Israel is fruitless. That's what you find in Isaiah 5. You know, they do not bear any fruit. In fact, the things that they do are quite wrong. The first five chapters of Isaiah are a terrible indictment on Israel. They come into God's presence with shameless faces of routine. They don't acknowledge his presence. And yet in chapter 6, what do you find? Isaiah, in this context, has a vision of the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And God reveals his glory and he reveals his holiness. And then it reveals to Isaiah something he hadn't realized. Yeah, he dwells in the midst of a people of unclean lips, but now he's got unclean lips. You see, in the presence of majesty, in the presence of God's glory, we are made more aware of what we are like. And when we're more aware of what we're like, we reach out. What did Isaiah say? Please, I'm a man of unclean lips. For a prophet to declare that meant he's finished. Not got any ministry. He can't declare the words of God if he's got unclean lips. So God did what he could do in cleansing his lips with his live coal taken from the altar. Cauterized his lips. And that's just a lovely picture of how God directs us away from our sin to the cross where our sin can be cleansed. Jesus is the healthy vine, just as we saw in that first picture. What's the secret of real growth? Well, we know it's to be born again. Even a very religious man like Nicodemus. I'm sorry, I had a mental block. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was embarrassed. He wanted to come and find out a bit more about the teachings of Jesus, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. What's it all about? You must be born again, said Jesus. How can I be born again? Can I enter again into my mother's womb somehow? That sounds a bit iffy, a bit flaky to me. You must be born again of the Spirit. That which is born of flesh is fleshly. That which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. Nicodemus, you must be born again. I wonder if we've all been born again here. Born again, come alive to God's presence. What Jesus has done on the cross. Have we come to him and said, Lord, thank you. You know, some of us here won't remember a time when you actually trusted Jesus for the first time. Some of you won't. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. The important thing is that you know, looking back, that you have done that. That you have trusted him. That you have come with those three words. I'm always teaching, when they were growing up, teaching our children. We're teaching our grandchildren now. What do you say? Sorry. That's one of the first things we've got to say in coming to know Jesus. Sorry. Lord, I'm so sorry for the things I've done, things I've thought, things I've said. Sorry, Lord. And then, thank you. That's the second word. Thank you for all that you've done for me in making my salvation possible. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for rising from the dead. Thank you that you've sent your Spirit to make it all real to me. And then please, the third word, so simple. Please come into my life. Come in to be my Savior. Come into my friend. Come in to be my Lord. Come in to be my Shepherd God. Come and lead me now. I don't want to be on my own. I don't want to think I can lead life myself. I need you, Lord. Please come in. God, that's what it means to be born again, to trust the Lord Jesus like that. And then he brings you alive by his Spirit. You must. There's no escape. You must be born again. And then you've got to stay connected. And that is the importance of John 15. Get connected, be born again. Stay connected, be part of this wonderful genealogy, this wonderful great big tree, this great vine, this living organism that's powerful and productive. Stay connected, stay connected. How do you stay connected? Any ideas about that? How do you stay connected with Jesus? Any ideas? We've done this today. Pardon? Reading the scriptures? Yeah, read the Bible. Sorry? Pray. Absolutely, we've done that today as well. But, you know, prayer is an act of dependence. Non-prayer is an act of independence. When we pray, we're saying, Lord, I can't get through this day without your help. I'm going to be bringing that to you later. We're going to say a prayer at the end of this sermon. We're going to say a prayer. And I'm going to encourage you to say a prayer daily in the next coming week. See where it leads you. See what it does for you. Stay connected. Pray. And you know what? Worship is important. I derive so much spiritual benefit from worshiping God. You know, in the mornings, I actually clear away a period of time in the morning. And that's me getting connected right at the beginning of the day. I find if I leave it to the end of the day, I've got too much to apologize for. But at the beginning of the day, I can bring God into the day. Say, Lord, I need your help if I'm going to get through this day. All that I'm going to do and all that I'm going to share, I need your help if I'm going to be a good granddad and a good dad and a good husband. I need your help, Lord, because I fail. Pray. Worship. Read the manual. Come under its authority. Let God speak to you through it. Speak to you through his word. And of course, this means find a quality time. For Peter, he found a rooftop. A rooftop, Acts 10. On the rooftop, he met with God. And God changed this man who was a devout Christian. He changed his prejudice against the Gentiles. And he turned his life around. When? When he prayed. When he went up on the rooftop to pray. God can speak to us. God can transform us as we pray, as we create space. Move aside the clutter and say, Lord, you've got my attention. I'm yours. Get connected. That's the only way these things grow. Stay connected. I want to share with you some blessings that we've already touched on. The blessings of a connected life. Loving the Father's care. Look in verses 1 to 2. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. We've got a beautiful garden. Can I say this with reverence? It wasn't beautiful when God had it all to himself. I'm not being facetious. I'm just saying God wants partnership. Now you should see what my wife's done with this garden. She's got beautiful garden. Babs, your rose bush is coming on great. When we left Gold Hill, Babs was my personal secretary while I was at Gold Hill. Thank you for coming. And she gave us a lovely, beautiful yellow rose bush. It's really flourishing. And lots of things are flourishing. My wife's got beautiful green fingers, just like her mum and dad. The Heavenly Father wants to tend you like that. Will you let him? He's got a way of snipping off something that gets in the way. Hebrews has something to say about that. You should be prepared for that. You know, Hebrews, is it chapter 12? Where Hebrews says, lay aside all that's unhelpful. Yeah, the sin that sticks so closely, but lay aside things that are unhelpful as well. I'm in training, believe it or not, to run or walk the marathon on my 70th birthday next year. Can't believe I'm doing it. But I'm getting there. I'm walking or running about 400 kilometers a month. I'm getting there. I'm loving it. I don't know why I said that. Loving the Father's kingdom. Why did I start talking about that? Maybe it's because you know what you've got to lay aside. I've had to trim my program. I've had to rearrange my lifestyle because I really believe doing this is right. You know, I want to collect a lot of money for bonded slaves in Pakistan. I want to free hundreds of families from bondage of debt. So that's my goal, and I'm going to do anything for that goal. I believe it's what God wants me to do. But it means clearing away the things that get in the way. The Father cares for you like that. He says, oh, Keith, you can do without this. Snip, snip. It's got a real dead branch, this one. It's just getting in the way. Allow the Father to have his loving care over you. He loves you to bits. Nobody loves you like he loves you. And he knows what you can do without. And surrender, as we've seen, is surrendering to the gardener's secateurs. Lord, have your way. If there's anything in my life that gets in the way of you having your way, then I want to be able to do without it. But sometimes it hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes it hurts saying goodbye to things that get in the way. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's things that you toy with. Loving Father's care brings blessing. Brings blessing. Because you know what you find? Oh, you can do without that. You find you can do without it. When it's gone, wow, I don't miss it anymore. Fruitfulness, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. You are all the branches. By the way, it means I'm the branches as well, because you're the body of Christ. I'm the vine. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear a mediocre amount of fruit. It doesn't say that at all. You will bear much fruit. You will have fruit. You'll be hanging down with the stuff. What is it? The more fruit, the lower the branches hang. Is that right? The lower the branches hang, the more humble the branches are, you know? The more we bear fruit, the more we glorify the Father's care. Fruitfulness, confidence. Look at verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. As we remain connected to the vine, as we remain connected, we increase in confidence. And as we read, As we read this inspired word, oh, bless him, that son. Isn't life hard sometimes? It is. Dad, what have you done? You know, as we allow our lives, our minds, to be shaped by this word of God, you know what we find? We start discovering the heart of God. We start finding out what pleases the Lord. That's what Ephesians 5 verse 10 says. Find out what pleases the Lord. How do you find that out? By reading his word, by sensing his heart. What you find happens then is you start wanting what the Father wants. Instead of what you want, you start saying, oh Lord, you know what? I don't want that anymore. I want you. And that's why you can ask with confidence. Because as your life and as your mind, as your heart, as your appetites are shaped by what the Father's will is, you will ask with great confidence. for God to do what he can do, only he can do. Paul Younger Chow said, I've read his book on prayer. It's magnificent. It's only a thin book, but it's well worth a read, Paul Younger Chow. Prayer. It's just simply called prayer. He said, prayer is creating an earthly landing strip for heavenly activity. Prayer is creating an earthly landing strip for heaven's activity. When you pray, you connect with omnipotence. You connect with the Almighty God. And he loves that. Oh, come on. Come on, let's do it together. Do it together. I remember a little story about a little boy who was watching his father put paving stones down in the garden. And his dad said, his son said, I want to be like my dad, you know. So he started trying to be like his dad, lift up mud and put it in the right place. And then he started to try and lift a big, heavy paving stone. Of course, he's only six. And he was lifting up and he's, ah. And the father turned to him and says, can't you do that, son? Can't you do that? He says, no. And he was all red in the face. He says, try a little bit harder. He's trying, he's straining himself. He said, are you using all your strength? Yes, Daddy, I'm using all my strength. But then the father came up behind his son, leaned over him, said, let's try it again. And they did it together. You see, when you're connected with God, you start experiencing what God can do through you. And that's wonderful, because you start seeing how big God is, how mighty God is, and you start trusting him for big things. And the big things start encouraging you to trust for bigger things. You grow in confidence as you ask and ask and ask and ask. Go on asking, go on seeking, go on knocking. Some of you have been waiting for years for certain things, haven't you? Some of you have been waiting for years. I'm here today to tell you not to give up. Carry on, batting on heaven's door. God wants to hear our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. Jesus said, ask in my name and it will be done for you. This way is my Father glorified. Confidence. Great honor. Yes, verse 8, we touched on this. Great honor. The Father is honored. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Just when people who come and visit us, you know, we take them around the garden. We have coffee or tea in the garden or breakfast or lunch in the garden, whatever. If it's warm enough, if it's over 20 degrees, that's it. We're out there. Out there. And people go, oh, look at those rhododendrons. Oh, look at those. Oh, I'm stuck now for more flowers. Look at those roses. Oh, incredible. What are they doing? They're, in a sense, they're giving honour to the tender, to the gardener. And when people see you bearing fruit, guess who they honour? The Father. Because it's not in my strength. It's not in my strength. We've got 30 centres throughout the world studying theology. It's not to keep... I didn't plan all this. God gradually unfolded this ministry to me. I'm not clever enough to organise, to be strategic thinking like this. But it's gradually happened and it's all to the Father's glory when we bear fruit. Fruit that will remain and not go bad. Obedience and security. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. It's a wonderful thing. The commands of God are not onerous. They're not difficult. They're impossible. We can't keep the commands of God in our own strength. That is why connectivity is important. When you connect, all things become possible. We can start loving each other. You member of a life group? Do you have life groups here? Do you have house groups here? Home groups? Yeah, great. Some people only choose, not going to go to this group because I don't like the people in that group. You know? Don't go, by the way, I haven't got any inside information on this, by the way. I'm an outsider. You know, but sometimes we can pick and choose because we don't like this person, don't like that person. You know, when we connect with the Lord, He gives us love for people. Now, I'm not going to, you know, people in that group rub me up the wrong way, you say. Well, praise the Lord, because they just reveal that you've got a wrong way to be rubbed up. And then you can pray about it. Then you can go before God and say, oh Lord, I've got this wrong way to be rubbed up. I need your help. I need your grace. What happens when you've got friction in an engine? What do? Pour in oil. In friction in an engine, you get components rubbing together. Without oil, what happens? You get heat, you get expansion, you get a lot of noise, you get breakdown. That's what happens in a church when they're operating in the earthly instead of the heavenly. When we operate in the heavenly realm, the Holy Spirit comes and graces us. And you can get on with someone and say, you know what, I started loving this person. You can't understand it. I've started loving this person now. Couldn't stand her when I joined this church. I start loving her now. I'm being honest. I'm being real. We can't possibly love everybody like that in God's strength. And sometimes, by the way, we don't actually like somebody. We wouldn't choose to go camping with them. That's okay. But God can fill us with love for that person. That's important. Okay? And that brings great security. Security in the Father's love. Okay, I'm going to finish in a minute. Going on too long. Joy, verse 11, we touched on this already. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is often due to circumstances. You can experience joy in the most difficult and desolate experiences. When my son was 25, we had to let go of him and he died. And I remember the night before he died, it was June the 30th, 2001. And I just didn't know how I was going to cope. I said, I've been a pastor, I've been facing all sorts of different life situations, been helping people through bereavement, dealing with all sorts of tricky and difficult, ugly situations sometimes. How am I going to cope with this, Lord? Simon was just lying there, and we knew he was going to die the next day. We felt sure he was going to die the next day because they increased his morphine and the rest of it. He was, kidneys had failed, his liver had failed, his heart was. God suddenly said to me, through scripture, by the way, he gave me Psalm 18. I said, what's that all about? Turn to it. He says, the Lord will keep your lamp burning. The Lord will keep your lamp burning. Here was I thinking, how am I going to cope with this, Lord? How am I going to cope? And I suddenly felt joy welling up in my heart because it wasn't about me. It wasn't about having to put on appearances and pretend. It was about me being able to be myself. And then the joy of the Lord can be my strength. Joy. You know, one of the darkest epistles of Paul is Philippians, because it's a prison, one of his prison epistles. But it's full with joy. Rejoice in the Lord again, I say unto you, rejoice. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 16 times in Philippians, Paul uses this verb, rejoice, rejoice. Not dependent on circumstances. That's why we can experience it in the deepest and darkest valley. The joy of the Lord can be our strength. Jesus said, I have told these things to you. Here's scripture again. I've said these things to you that you may know my joy. Joy will be complete. Verse 11. Quickly moving on. Intimacy. Verse 15. I love this. I no longer call you servants. Servants do not know their master's business. You're just told to do this, do that, do this, go this, do this. I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. There's an intimacy. The Lord wants to share with you as friends. And He wants us to share with each other as friends. No greater love than a friend is willing to lay down his life for a friend. Intimacy. Purpose, verse 16. You didn't choose me. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. It's a wonderful thing to be called. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. When you're called, when you're chosen, it's a wonderful thing. He's called all of us to be with him, to be connected to him, to find out his glorious purpose, to be a fruit bearer. He's called all of us. He's called all of us. Where do you get started? How can I ensure this as a reality this week? It's all been very nice, Pastor, but how do we go on from here? This is a lovely prayer by John Stott I came across. It's a very simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that I may live this day in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. See, it's Trinitarian. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity. Three persons in one God. Have mercy on me. And if you want to pray this prayer, I've printed out several copies, and they're on the, I was going to say on the organ. They're on the sound desk at the back, okay? If you want to take one, there's about 35 copies there. There's not one enough for everybody, but and if you're a couple, you might just take one, okay? And you can easily write it out anyway. You don't even need to follow it slavishly. It's just a prayer that you can say, I'm making this mine. Will you do that?